And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
It's just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you. Start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun. Even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 2 of season 2 here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. Today we have a very special guest with us. This artist is somebody who I'm not going to lie to you, I've been looking at and hoping to get on this show for quite some time. In full disclosure, I wanted him to be on earlier than he has. However, you know, things and schedules and all that crap happen, and the perfect opportunity arose to have him here at the beginning of season 2. And I honestly have to say that I'm very excited that this is episode 2, because I've been following him, like I said, for months now, and I absolutely love everything he has put out to date. I think this to me is country music that you don't hear anymore. It has very much a late 80s, 90s country music feel in the modern era. This artist is an Alabama native, and you already know who it is by the title of the episode, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm very happy to have Michael J. Hughes here with us today. I absolutely adored this conversation. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool to get to know him and how he's come to be. And, you know, if you go and listen to his music, I think you'd be amazed that, you know, he took all this time off to raise his kid and, you know, do the dad thing and now living his dream. Like, I respect that a whole bunch. So, really, there's not much more to say of an introduction, because we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff here in the next hour. So, sit back, relax, grab your favorite beverage, and without further ado, Michael J. Hughes. Hey, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining us. This is, you know, for those of you who are listening, this conversation has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you and I have been talking about you being on the show for, God, what seems like months and months and months.
Yeah, it's been a few, but I'm glad to finally be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just, you know, for everybody listening, you know, this has kind of been one of those, for me, I kind of, and for you, you know, this is a little behind the scenes story. I kind of selfishly pushed you off a little bit.
because I wanted you to have what I knew was going to be a spotlight in season two.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, like I told you, you know, off the air, this is about you. So, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, how you've come to be, how you got to where you are, and, you know, we'll start the conversation that way.
All right. Well, my name is Michael J. Hughes, and I'm from a tiny little town in Alabama called Goshen. Population's about 330, I think, last I checked, is what I like to say. So I come from a very small town and started playing music, I think, when I was about 9 or 10, but really picked up guitar about 14. And my stepdad was the choir leader at our local church, so he kind of helped me learn some chords on the guitar and got me going with that. And I really was about 15 or 16. They weren't any good, but I was writing them in. Kind of found my passion for that. And, really, I just figured out I could get, you know, emotions out and put them on paper and into music, and they didn't have to sit around bouncing around in my head all the time. So anyway, I would play at you know, field parties and that kind of stuff we do down here in the South. And went to college at Auburn University.
Oh, thank God. Hold on. I need to stop you right there. If you would have said Alabama, this whole conversation would have been over.
Well, it's a touchy subject down here. So you got
I know.
And actually, my wife is Alabama fan, so it's real touchy sometimes in our house. Oh, but but she went to Auburn. I met her at Auburn, and we got married when I was 19, and. I really kind of put music off. I was, you know, bars and stuff, but I didn't really take it seriously, especially once my daughter was born. We got one daughter, and she just turned 18. So I kind of put music off, you know, to raise her, and I didn't want to be out of the house too much and touring all over the place. So took about 10 years off and really got back serious with it about 4 years ago now.
Yeah.
And put out my first EP was first I put out a single. It was a song I wrote 3 years ago called Some Old Dirt Road. It was just an acoustic demo, really. And once I figured out how easy it was to upload your music, you know, I thought I was doing something. So I put that one up, and then I put a few more up in a little EP of the same name, and just kind of got started from there. I met some people out of Texas. That's where my managers are from. I can tell you how I met them if you want, but we really got it kicked into overdrive about time COVID hit, and now we're kind of rebooting it, so to speak.
Yeah. So how did you meet your management team? How did you, you know, because, you know, the Texas music scene, or especially the country scene, is nothing to shake, you know, a stick at.
No. Well, I was playing. We do these little mud rides. Y'all may do them up there too. I don't know. I've never been to Boston and whatever, but we ride four wheelers and side by sides, just have little rides down here. They've got whole parks dedicated to it. And you can camp and, you know, bring your RV and just have you a good old party out there. Well, I was playing for one of those for a friend of mine that I went to high school with. And his wife's cousins were in town from Texas. They live in Red Oak, Texas, which is right south of Dallas. And one of her cousins bartended at a bar in Rowlett, Texas. And she heard me sing and took an interest in it. And she went back to her bar. And one of my managers happened to be a regular patron there. So she was telling everybody about it, and he found out about it. Well, he looked me up, and turns out he used to be in the music. I believe it was in the 90s, mid-90s. He was he worked with Steve Holy. And his dad was also, I think his dad worked with Leanne Rimes too. So he knew his way around the, you know, the music business and everything. Well, he contacted me, and his friend out in Texas is Rhett. And he kind of talked it over to Rhett, and they decided, you know, let's meet this guy and see if we think he's got something. So I flew out there to Texas and met with them, played them a song or two, and they said, we want to form a management company, and we think we can get you going somewhere if you're interested. So, of course, I said yes, you know. And Rhett, my other manager, they're partners, Two Cuts Enterprises. And Rhett's dad is a very big producer in Nashville. I didn't know that at the time. But his dad is Larry Rogers, who has produced – man, I don't even know all the people he's produced. I just know the highlights, you know. I mean, yeah. George Strait, Garth, he's worked with Dolly, you know. It just – Mel McDaniel, it blew my mind when I found out about it. So they were listening to my music, and they asked would I want to come and record some stuff, that I have any more songs. So I met them up in Franklin, Tennessee at Larry's Studio 19 in the Sound Kitchen. And we recorded our first single, Dirt Road Whiskey. And I think we did six in all in the first go round there. And we hadn't been able to get back in the studio yet, but we recorded all six. And we've just been pushing them out, trying to get my name out there and get some interest in the music.
Yeah. You know, what I've heard of you, you know, it's been great. You know, it's actually... you know, for me, you know, a little kickback to, you know, late 80s, early 90s country that isn't heard very often anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's nice. You know, it's like a breath of fresh air to not hear the same sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that. You're not the first person that said that. And it makes a lot of sense, because that was probably the era that influenced me the most. I'm a little bit older than a lot of emerging artists, as they say. And so I grew up on the 80s, late 80s and 90s country. And my gosh, Alan Jackson, you know, is a hero. And Garth, everybody knew Garth.
Yeah.
So I try, I'm not mimicking that sound, but I like that. Man, that was my favorite era of country music. So I try to keep that
sound my stuff
and kind of veer away from some of the popular stuff you hear. I don't mind it, but it's just not my style, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, with all of this, you know, I've obviously been following what you're doing, and you know, we've had plenty of conversations about what you're doing. But, you know, I've noticed you've taken the track to Nashville to do some stuff over the last few days or whatever. And so what has made you, you know, go that route rather than, you know, a little more Austin?
Well, the connections that with Rhett's dad, Larry, owning the studio there in Franklin, I mean, that's where we record, you know. I think he gets a pretty good deal on studio time, you know. So really, when we started going up there to record, and we went up there and shot a music video for Dirt Road Whiskey, and I'd never hung out a whole lot in Nashville, but we started, of course, going out and going to some of the bars, some of the ones off Broadway kind of, and I met some artists that actually I knew from TikTok.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe they recognized me from TikTok. So I met a few of them and just kind of made fast friends with them. And I've been trying to go up there once a month and just kind of, you know, networking is so important, and doing it for the right deal pretty quick if somebody just wants something from you, or if they're genuinely, you know, taking interest in you. So they've been real good to me. There's some good people up there, but I'm not opposed to going and making it in Texas. We'll do it wherever. I like the Texas music scene, but yeah. It seems to me like being from outside of Texas is a little bit harder, you know, to be accepted over there for a lot of people anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to, like I say, go to Nashville as much as I can, but at least once a month, and co-write with people, just really hang out and be there, because stuff tends
you know.
Right, right. Now, has there been a conversation about just, you know, making Nashville home?
Like I said, my daughter just turned 18 this past September, and she's going to be going to Auburn here pretty soon. So I can't quit my day job just yet. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Paying for that is going to be expensive. But we may do a part-time thing for a while. But, yeah, I'd love to be able to move. Once you're in the scene and you're around these people, like, everybody knows everybody. And you can meet, you can get so many opportunities to, for me, it's about, I want to co-write with people because there's so much talent up there, you know, and you can sing something every night. If you try hard enough, you can get on the writer's round or something. So we're trying to do that much as we can.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, at the beginning about your first EP with, that you put out. Some Old Dirt Road. What was that, 2019, you said, right before?
Yeah, 2019. The World. Yeah, that was the year. I put that out in January 2019, so that was about a year before everything went crazy.
Okay. Now, with all the songs you've been releasing, you know, last year and, you know, coming into this year, you know, with Dirt Road Whiskey, Playing With Fire, and then we're actually going to talk about one of my favorite independent artist songs that you've actually wrote in have put out, but we'll get to that because I don't want to I want to have like a conversation behind it. Now what else is in line? Do you have, you know, releases that are scheduled for 2022 that will come out as singles, or are you going to do another EP?
We're thinking of doing the singles and try to do it about every 6 weeks just until we get a little more name recognition, you know. And
sure.
And because I like just dripping it out there and keeping it, you know, it's so hard to keep people's attention these days as it is.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense to me. And in a way, I don't like to release a song too quick after the previous one. Cause I, you know, to me that's art and I want people to appreciate it as much as I do, but they don't always do.
Right.
And sometimes it just kind of gets lost in the mix once you get three or four down the line, but that's kind of what we're looking at right now. We've got planned at least six right now to put out for 2022, and we've got to get back in the studio. And we've got, gosh, we probably got an album worth ready to record and go after that.
So that's incredible.
We're talking about after we get these that we initially recorded out, then going back and maybe doing an EP is the next step, you know, so maybe towards the end of the year.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So everything you have that's set to release this year, is it everything done and recorded? We're just sitting on it to release it?
Yeah, everything's done. Now, two of them that we're going to release this year. In fact, the next release, I'm not sure when you're going to air this, but it's coming out February 11th. And I did a cover. It was an impromptu thing. Like I said, when you're in Nashville, things happen. And I happened to be in Nashville. I think it was back in August or September. I think it was September. And I was meeting with an artist friend of mine, Caleb Garrett. And if you hadn't heard of him, look him up. He's got a very unique voice, just talented guy. And we got the opportunity just sitting around one night to go and record. We were just, you know, playing around like artists like to do, swapping songs and everything. And I can't say the name of the studio, but it's a very famous studio in Nashville, and legal reasons, I can't say which one, because we did kind of a backdoor recording in there, if you know what I mean. So I can't ever say that, which kills me, but we were able to do this and go to this famous studio and we recorded a cover of a Bee Gees song, believe it or not, To Love Somebody. I know you've heard that one.
Oh yeah.
And I put a little country twist on it, and he's singing, Caleb's singing backup vocals and playing lead, but it's just me and him, acoustic guitars and two microphones. So be looking for that February 11th. And we also did a cover of Why Lady Why, the Alabama song.
Yep.
The same way. So that's going to be two. But then the others, we recorded those back in 2019, actually. And just sitting on them, you know, waiting to go.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy. Has that killed you over the last couple years of having these songs?
I was gonna say I'm biting my nails because you know once you hear the final product, when you go in the studio, for somebody like me who'd never been in an environment like that, well, first of all, it's pretty intimidating. But those guys, I got to talk about the musicians we had on there, so just bear with me. But we were able because of COVID. Actually, 2020 is when we recorded. Now to think about it. But we were able to get some of the best musicians I could ever hope for because of COVID, because they weren't on the road touring, you know? So
yeah,
we were able to get, Jason Roller, who plays with Alabama. Now he plays, lead guitar. Well, he can play anything, but he played lead guitar, rhythm guitar, and fiddle. We were able to get, Steve Henson on the steel guitar and the slide guitar. He's played with everybody. I mean, Randy Travis, I think he even said he played with Merle Haggard. He's just a legend.
Yeah.
We had the drummer, Greg Lohman from Easton Corbin Band, bass player. It was Jay Gorman. He played with Kelly Pickler and I think Easton Corbin too. We had the piano player from Clint Black, and I was able to get the backup singer, the female backup singer for George Strait, Marty Slayton, and Alan Jackson's male backup singer, Monty Allen. So, I mean, who would ever thought, you know, just blew my mind. Alan Jackson, one of my heroes, and here I've got his backup singer singing on my song. So, but yeah, it's killing me because you go in the studio, you play your, they had me play it acoustic for them, just like I do it. And then we went in the booth and here we go. I'm singing and they're doing their thing. And man, the first time you hear that full mix in those headphones, I just had chill bumps. I get them right now just thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, isn't that something unique about country music? And, you know, I'm starting to think that it is that, you know, you play with all of these names and, you know, some people would see it as just a session, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you, like you said, you're playing with, you know, some of the elite. And
yeah.
You know, based on conversations I've heard and have had with people, they're such, you know, they're really humble about what they've done. There's no bragging. There's no, you know, there's no bullshit. It's just, it is what it is. You know,
yeah.
They're professional. They're there to do a job and they do it and they do it, you know, incredibly.
They do. Well, that's what impressed, you know, they never, the nervousness I was feeling was me. It was that imposter syndrome. Nothing they did. They were, I mean, it was just like playing with buddies I've known for years. They were just, you know, made put me right at ease, especially Jason Roller, because he was in the booth right next to me and I could see him through the window. And there was one time, you know, I screwed up singing. I came in at the wrong time and I was used to just everybody stopping and we had to start over, but they just kept going. And he just looked at me and nodded his head like, no, just keep going. It's fine. And what impressed me too is you're so right. They're so professional. First of all, they don't make mistakes. But then once I had sang like Playing With Fire, you know, four or five times and thought I had a good vocal on it, I just went in the sound booth. And those guys stayed in there probably for another, you know, three or four rounds just to wanting to get theirs just right. They try different things. Hey, you know what? I think this will sound good. And I'm thinking, man, they don't have to do that. You know, they've done their job. But the music means so much to them that they will go that extra mile, you know. And yeah. I really appreciate that. You're right. I think that is unique.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be, you know, because, you know, and I say that because of all the conversations I've had that have had, you know, similar stories to that where, you know, you go in and you record your songs. And like you said, that imposter syndrome where it's like, you know, I'm not worthy of doing this with these people, you know, mm-hmm. I think that's a natural thought and a natural feeling because, you know, I can relate to that to an extent, you know,
yeah.
But it's gotta be something where, you know, you have your songs that you've written, that you've put your, you know, your personal blood, sweat and tears into. And then you have, you know, these giants really, you know, just be like, mm-hmm. Hey, this was great. You know, keep going.
Yeah. And they're treating it like they helped write it. You know what I mean? And that
right.
means a lot to me as an artist. It's like, these guys are artists too. I think they're artists first, you know?
Yeah.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you go to Nashville and when you have your trips there, would you say every time is a new experience?
Yeah, pretty much. I like to go down to Broadway like everybody for what it is. You know, you have a good time with your buddies down there. But to me, you hear the same music because that's what it's for, you know, is to bring the tourists down there. I like to go to the Printer's Alley bars, you know, like I think what's it called? Alley Taps is one.
Yeah.
And I like to go to the songwriter rounds and hear the artists like myself, you know, just with some of the stuff you'd never hear anywhere else. And
right,
they've got so many songs, you know, you may never hear them. Well, you're going to hear them on the radio, but you won't hear them for a while, but you heard them first. And right. I like to go to the local. It's a little bar down on, I think it's Fifth Avenue. That's where I meet a lot of artists that I've kind of became friends with, because everybody goes there. They either work there or they go there to listen to their friends too and support them. So, yeah, every time it's different. I meet new people, and I love it. I love being up there. And it's a four-hour drive for me, but to me that's nothing, especially compared to driving out to Texas. You know, that's right. 10 hours.
Right. Right, yeah, 4 hours is nothing. Nah. Like, really, really, it's nothing. So when you have your next trip, you know, to Nashville, mm-hmm. will it be to record? Will it be to, you know, do meetings? What is your plans as you go? Or do you just kind of, you know, pick a date and say, okay, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, and that's what we're doing on this trip?
Yeah, unless I'm meeting John and Red up there, it's just to go. I made that commitment after we had been up there. You know, we'd been up there to record, and we had been up there to do the video, and I met Caleb up there and everything. And then I said, you know what, guys, I've got to be here, because so much happens when I'm here, and I can't live here right now. But I've got to come up here at least once a month. And it doesn't have to be a plan. It's just magic happens when you're there. It's incredible. So the next time, I don't think I can get up there in February. It's pretty full, but maybe the end of March. And what I'll do is I'll just kind of look at where some of my friends are playing and try to catch one of their, you know, rounds or something.
Yeah.
And talk with them, and I'll get introduced to so-and-so. And you just never know. I keep telling them, of course, I'm paying for it. It's out of my pocket. I keep telling my wife, let's put it that way, that it's going to pay off, because if you just go up there and be a good person, then good things will happen, is what I believe. And I've met a lot of good people up there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I tell my wife the same thing with this podcast, that, you know, one of these days, something good is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, she'll be like, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's great to hear that you know, have such a support with it, you know, especially, you know, really starting later in life, you know, mm-hmm. not that you're old, but, you know, but
oh, I'm old. Yeah.
You know, but like you've lived a life already, you know, you said, you have an 18-year-old daughter, like,
yep.
You know, it's not like you're 25 and starting out.
Well, you know, if I tell people, if I would have had any amount of success at 22, 23 years old, I'd have been a totally different person. You probably wouldn't want to talk to me. And so I'm a big believer in God's sovereignty over everything. And so his timing is perfect. And that's what I'm trying to go by. So at first, yeah, I mean, I still think about it. I think, man, you haven't got that many years, you know, you can be doing this, but I'm right where I'm supposed to be. And you're right. All these extra years I have on people are an advantage, because I'm more mature, more humble, definitely more humble, because life will do that to you.
Yeah.
And I got so many more things that I can write about that I've experienced, or I know people that have experienced, you know. So in a lot of ways, it's an advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, you know, being from Alabama, and I think you might be the first Alabamian, if that's the right word, to be on the show. So I wanted to ask, what is the country music scene like down there? You know, because there's been some pretty big names to come out of Alabama, as you know, as we know.
Yeah. Now I think you talked with one of the Wilsons, didn't you?
Chad
Wilson. Yeah.
Chad's from Alabama. That's right. Yeah.
I thought I'd heard him on there. And I haven't met him yet, but he grew up about 45 minutes from where I live right now. I'm near Montgomery, and he grew up on Lake Martin. So the scene is different. It depends on where you're at. Birmingham's got a pretty good scene because it's, you know, a bigger city. Huntsville is only an hour away from Nashville, so they're kind of growing their scene up there. And, of course, you've got Tuscaloosa with the college scene and Auburn with the college scene. And then really down you go to the Floribama down there in Orange Beach. You know, they have songwriters festivals and everything down there. So it depends. Now, around here, what kind of surprises me, and I hate to kind of talk bad about where I live, but near Montgomery, which should be the mecca of country music, we got Hank Williams statue downtown, you know, in the museum. Right. But it's a tough scene around here a lot of times. I generally have more fun going outside of Montgomery, but not far. You know, we've got little suburbs, I guess you'd say. We've got Prattville, Millbrook. In areas around there that still got the old honky tonk bar scene that I tend to like to play in, you know. But there's a few gyms here and there, but really you have to go outside to get people that really like country music, which kind of shocks me.
Really?
Yeah.
That is shocking. That's actually really shocking.
Well, to put the country music I like, let's say that. So
okay.
You know, I mean, we hear the same stuff on the FM radio that you do, so, but nobody that gigs around here likes to play it, so
right yeah, and that I think that's a fair assessment. So, you know, because it's funny you say that, because, you know, being up here in the Northeast, you know, we have, you know, good, right, wrong, indifferent, we have an image of the South, right? Whether it's positive, whether it's negative, you know, it all depends on who you talk to, right?
Right, right.
You know, because we have a sense, like, just like you said, where it is that, you know, excuse my terminology, but that hillbilly, you know, redneck bar where it's, you know, where it is the Duke Boys. And it is that, you know, how close to that, you know, scene in that image in that country music style is it really?
Well, a lot of places I play is just like that, you know. but they're good people is the thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
I understand I get that. I understand the image thing, but it's in some of these places, there's one place, I better not say their name, but because I love playing there, but it is I would call it a honky tonk dive bar. And I mean, I drove up with my wife first time I played there. She came with me. She doesn't always come with me because I'm not going to drag her out of the house late at night, every, you know, two or three nights a week. But
yeah,
we went up, pulled up to this bar, and we had some friends that were going to meet her there to sit with her while I played. And she just kind of looked at it, and she said, you know, I think I'm just going to wait in the truck until everybody. I said, come on. But you go, it's scary from the outside, but you go inside and, man, everybody, hey, come on, you know, let me buy you a drink. They're just good people, but
yeah,
there's some honky tonk dive bars left. Some of them you can still smoke in too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, you know, I kind of, I just, you know, being, you know, it's funny, a couple of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, me and a buddy were in we were right outside of DC, and, you know, here's been no smoking everywhere for God, 20 plus years. So we were down there, and then we walked right into an Outback Steakhouse, and they were like, smoking or non-smoking? It's like, what do you mean? There's an option? What are you talking about? You know, it's funny you say that, because, you know, for us up here, like, that's not even there's not even a thought.
Right. Right. I can think of four right off the top of my head that still allow smoking. I don't necessarily like it because I quit smoking, but it does give a little atmosphere in there. I will say that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Then you have to go home and shower when you get home. But.
yeah, light your clothes on fire. So do you have regular places, you know, near home where you play on a regular basis, or do you try to branch out?
I'm trying to branch out a little more. I've got, like I say, four or five right around this area that I play in pretty regular, at least once a month, and I don't like to go more than that, just because it's usually the same people. So I've tried to start moving to South Alabama a little more. I played in down around Dothan and Ozark, which is southeast Alabama, and I went over into Bainbridge, Georgia, which is southwest Georgia, and northern Florida, and I played over in Mississippi a few months back in over in Oxford. And let's see, next month, I think it's the second week in February, I'm going out to Texas. I play out there when I can at my friend's bar, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a great scene around there. You got to play more of the Texas artist stuff when you're doing your covers, but I love that stuff, so it's no problem to me. So I'm trying to get out there and really would love to play some. I'm trying to get in some of these writers' rounds and stuff in Nashville because I don't really know if people get discovered anymore, you know, like the old, you've heard the songs and stories written about the record guy walking in. It doesn't really happen like that, but it's the people you can meet and work with. And, you know, it's good to be around people that are in your interest in your profession. So I'm trying to get up there and I'll play anywhere. We're actually, I can't tell you the exact details yet because they're still confirming it, but we've got four nights of shows lined up in March out in California, which is going to be very unique.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you know, if you're going to start doing that stuff, we got to get you up here because, you know, we've got some great, great spots that I think you would fit right in with, like, perfectly.
I'd love that, man. I'd love that. And I'd be glad to do it.
Yeah. Now, do you have, like, do you have a bucket list of places you want to play and things you want to do?
Yeah, I want to play the I'd love to play the Floribama main room down there. And I'm kind of working on that. So that may be checked off pretty soon. That's just for an Alabama guy, that's where you want to be. That's, we've seen a lot of talent come through there. And well, Chad and Kyle Wilson, you know, made their bones down there a little bit. And Jimmy Buffett hangs out down there all the time. And a lot of songwriters have been through there too. So that's one of them. Man, the dream show for me is the Ryman. I want to play the Ryman and the Opry, of course, but got to be in that old Ryman stage, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. it's quite, you know, for a non-musician, you know, that to stand on that stage, you know, gave me chills. So I can only imagine what it would be for an actual musician.
I was up there we stopped in on the way to a FFA, you know, Future Farmers of America convention. We stopped there when I was probably 16 and did that tour. And man, you're talking about fan to flames when you stand in the circle, you know, and
a lot
of dreaming goes on right there. So I'd love to do that. And then out in Texas, I've seen a couple of shows at Billy Bob's Texas in Fort Worth, and man, I'd love to do that. And Groon Hall, I could name them forever, man. And we'll get to them.
Yeah, hell yeah. I've always wanted to go to Billy Bob's. I hear some really good things about Billy Bob's.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Just to be able to see a show in that sort of setting to me is, you know, a dream, you know, just to see it, never mind play it.
I know. It's unreal. I saw Cody Johnson, you know, he's a Texas artist that's kind of breaking out of Texas now. And he's probably my top guy right now to listen to. I love Cody Johnson's music and his story.
He's incredible. He's absolutely incredible.
So we got to see him there, and it's the biggest bar you'll ever see. So it's incredible to see a show in there. It's just unreal.
Yeah. I, you know what they say, everything's bigger in Texas. So I can only imagine.
Yeah.
What that's really like.
When you got a rodeo arena right here, and you know,
right.
Like what? You know, and there's like six or seven bars. It's unreal.
Yeah. So I guess this is be the best time as any to talk about, you know, and I'm not blowing smoke here. This is seriously one of, if not my absolute favorite song in the independent world right now. And that's your tune, Keith Whitley Songs.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I remember you sending me this song and you were like, hey, check this out. And I, you know, I get messages like that all the time, right?
So it's
like,
yeah,
you know, so it's like, okay, you know, whatever. Sure. And it, the song blew me away. Like, it's fantastic. And I say that because, one, you know, to write a song about, you know, probably somebody that could have been probably the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to write it the way you did, how did you think of this song?
Well, it's I like to write about, my songs are simple. I like to say that. I don't put a lot of innuendo in it. It's just straightforward because I really took a lot of songwriting inspiration from Hank Williams, and I mean Hank Williams Sr. And his songs, you know, he had a ton of them and a ton of hits, and they were all just simple country songs where they tell a story, and it's up to you whether you decide if it's true or not. Which, now, I didn't, everything I write about, I didn't experience, but a lot of it I did. And right, it may be about somebody close to me that experienced something. And so if you ever tell me something, some cool story, now it may end up in a song, but I'll keep your name out of it. So I tell people, you know, but that this particular song is a true story that happened when I was, I think I was 17 years old. So back in Goshen, this was before we had streaming services and all that. So it was either the FM radio or CDs.
Yeah.
And we used to carry around the big old books of CDs, you know, where you had to flip through and find what you wanted. And we were in my truck one night, and we used to hang out. Man, this is going to sound like the country thing ever, but we had a little bridge that we would hang out underneath. You could drive your trucks under there and be right by the river. And so that's where we hung out, and we'd build a fire and just sit around and play guitar and try to pick up girls and talk or whatever. And somebody would be playing a CD on their truck speakers. Well, this particular night, I was playing a Keith Whitley Greatest Hits CD, which I still have the actual CD, by the way, that the song's written about. And the girl I thought I was in love with at the time was out there. And so we put in that CD, and me and her, you know, started dancing. I mean, it's just, the song spells it out. See, it's so simple. I don't even have to, make you innuendo about it, but it's exactly what it's about. And it's a true story. We played it until the battery on my truck died, and I had to get jumped off before we could leave. So that's what it's about. That's it. It's a true story about a Keith Whitley Greatest Hits CD.
That's awesome. So was it easy for you once you were starting to write the song to throw in the Whitley references?
You know, that song, and a lot of people have different writing styles, but for me, if I can sit down and it just comes out and I knock it out in an hour or less, then it's going to be a good one. And I knew it was going to be a good one. I didn't know how good, but it just kind of came, you know. I was just like, it's supposed to make you think of the song going from one song to the next, you know. So there's five references in the chorus to Keith Whitley Greatest Hits, you know, songs. So yeah, I mean, it, I don't know. I don't remember writing it as a thing. You know, I remember writing it, but I don't remember it didn't seem like a whole lot of thought went into it, which is a good thing when you're writing songs, to me. It's just like it flows from wherever it comes from.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. You know, cause it's funny because, you know, you hear, there's a lot of these sort of songs, right, where, you know, somebody's writing about something or somebody and they throw in references like this, right?
Yeah,
but this,
yeah,
this song in particular, just so seamless, where I think if you don't know Keith Whitley's songs, you mm-hmm. wouldn't even, it, you know, it doesn't jump right out at you and punches you in the face, which is also, I think, a huge testament to your songwriting, that it's just really so seamless.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, man. I'm trying to take credit for it, but because I am very proud of it. But it's just, when it comes from the heart or whatever, wherever it came from, and it comes and flows out like that, you just can't improve upon it, you know? And
right.
And so I actually did an acoustic demo of that at the same studio I recorded the first EP at, just me and the guitar. And it, of course, it sounds a little different, but once we got to the studio, I told him this has to have steel guitar in it, you know. and it needs a female backup singer. So that's what you can hear, Marty Slayton, the George Strait's backup singer. I can't hear it now, even in my head, without her coming in on the love, you know, love. So that's incredible. The whole thing's been an incredible experience, and I'm really pleased. It really made my day for you to say that, is what I'm trying to say. I appreciate that very much.
Sure, sure. Now, with what everything you've got going on, and you know, all of with the success of this song, you know, how did it surprise you?
Well, with that one, it did. So Dirt Road Whiskey was actually written by a guy I met at one of these bars I was telling you about. That it's called. I'll talk about it. I love it. It's called Carl's Country in Prattville, Alabama. And I was opening for a Texas artist named Bart Crow. And I met I didn't know he was a songwriter at the time, but I met this guy named Mark Kelly. He was in the audience. And he came up to me, and it's kind of like you say you have people send you songs, and, hey, listen to this. Well, he did that to me. Hey, man, listen to this song. I think I wrote a good song. And well, we went and listened to it, and you know, it was pretty good. So we really we thought – and this is where you can get in a mistake as a younger artist. I could see me falling into it. But me and John and Rhett thought, well, that'll be the one to lead with, because that one sounds most like what you hear on the radio. And I love the song, don't get me wrong. But it was surprising to me it didn't take off better than it did. And then actually when we got down to the third release, Keith Whitley songs, I was blown away because it took off like a rocket, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, that must be me, is what I'm trying to say. That's country, and it was affirming to me. In other words, you're doing the right thing by doing your style of music. And I still write with Mark Kelly. He's a great writer. But I guess sticking more to the country roots is kind of what surprised me that took off the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because you've put it out there in so many different avenues, you know, speaking of TikTok and stuff like that. You know, do you find that using those platforms helps get that traction a little more?
Oh, it's crucial. You got to do it. And
it's
exhausting sometimes, but you have to do it. And it really got going, with TikTok, cause somebody tagged, Jesse Keith Whitley, you know, Keith's son on TikTok. I didn't even know he was on TikTok. And people tag people all the time, you know, but they're either not managing their account or they never see it, you know. And lo and behold, he saw it and responded to it. And he said, man, I'm all about this. I'm going to share this on my Facebook page. So he shared it on his Facebook page. Well, he's got, you know, over 300,000 followers, and they all picked up on it. So here you go. So, man, social media is key. I'm glad it's there, but I hate it all the same, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So have you had a conversation with him about it, or was it just – that was just it?
We messaged back and forth, and he said he's going to try to get me up to the – they do a memorial ride, like a bike ride in around CMA Fest. I think it's in June.
Yeah.
And they're talking about getting me up there to sing it, so I hope he follows through with that. But, yeah, we chatted about it, and he was just blown away by it that – somebody wrote that song about his dad's music, you know, and that meant a lot to me too, man. I'm just trying to, you know, I thought about it then. You just have to step back and think, as a 14-year-old kid in Goshen, Alabama, I never would have dreamed Keith Whitley's son would know I existed, much less hear my song I wrote about his dad's music. You know, it's just, it's really unbelievable, and I'm so grateful for it.
That's awesome. That's really incredible. That's an incredible story. So now, you know, you have your plan for 2022, you have all these things going. You know, what are you looking forward to most this year?
Well, right now we've got, I love going out to Texas. So that's the next thing up is going out there. That's the next big thing I got. Cause I've made so many friends around that area and around that particular bar. I love to see them, and they've been super supportive out there. And I'm hoping that'll turn into more gigs in Texas. So I'm looking forward to that. Now at the end of February, I'm really looking forward to this. I got invited to play a writer's round type set with two local artists, Cameron Dubois and Drake. D White. And we're doing that for a it's a benefit fishing tournament called I think it's called Casting for a Cure. And it, first of all, it meant a lot for me to be invited to do that for such a good cause. But also, I get to sit down with these two other artists who I love. And I've actually written a duet that I hope to duet with Cameron. We're going to try it out and see. And I hope she'll agree to, you know, record it with me. If you haven't looked her up, please do. Cameron Dubois. I'll send you a link.
Okay. Yeah.
She's fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's going to be some other artist like Chad's brother Kyle is going to be there. Mo Pitney's going to be there. Dylan Carmichael. So I'm looking forward to meeting them and swapping ideas, maybe setting up some rights and stuff like that. But and then the California trip, I'm looking forward to that just to see what kind of experience that's going to be. I don't know how they feel about country in California, but we're going to find out. They seem to be excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean Bakersfield alone, you know. Right there is
true.
Country music, you know, royalty.
True. We're going to be playing near Seal Beach, which I'm not sure exactly where that is, but it's going to be fun. I'm bringing Caleb Garrett out there, the guy I was telling you about, and there's an artist out in L.A., Scott Fleetwood, and we're going to kind of do the same thing, kind of a two-hour songwriter song swap type deal. And the venue seemed to be pretty excited about it, so I'm hoping – it's just another opportunity to get your music out there and get your name out there. Hopefully pick up some new fans and followers.
Yeah, absolutely. No press is bad press, really. You know, it really isn't. So I gotta, you know, I know you've got a couple other things ahead of you tonight, so I can't thank you enough for taking some time and chatting with me. It's been a lot of fun. And I loved hearing all these stories and getting to know you, and I look forward to, you know, continuing this friendship, and, you know, as things come up, you know, we'll always 100% be here for you and your career and help you push whatever you're pushing.
Well, thank you so much, Jim. We really appreciate it. Independent artists, I mean, it means the world to us. It really does.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
No problem. So a few things I got before I let you prepare for your next endeavor this evening.
Okay.
Two things. One, we're the Boots and Whiskey podcast. So what boots are you wearing, and what is your whiskey of choice?
Well, the boots I got on right now are actually kind of a custom pair I had. It's a company called Old Country and Western. You can find them on Instagram, and he made me some snakeskin boots. He's out of Texas. So check them out. There's a free plug for you, buddy, and love them. Whiskey, man. My favorite whiskey is actually Tennessee whiskey, and it's the one that's in the Dirt Road Whiskey video, if you'll check it out. It's like a Jack Daniel's-style, you know, Tennessee mash, but it's called Greenbrier. I don't know if you ever had it before. I don't know if you can get it outside of Tennessee, actually. But
you know, it's funny whiskey. Because I keep hearing about them, you know, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from where I am, you know, it's really hard to get some things.
Right.
You know, so it's like you kind of got to, one, ask for it. And, you know, I've come across some really great distilleries that have been like, yeah, absolutely. Like, if, you know, you want to feature us, here you go. or you got to know somebody that doesn't mind, you know, doing the whole thing and getting it to you.
Right.
You know, so it's hard. It's been difficult, but it's been a lot of fun to, you know, do this whiskey collection and all these reviews I've started to do.
Well, if I get up that way, I'll bring you a bottle.
Sounds great. So, you know, how do we find Michael J. Hughes and everything that is you?
I've got a website. It's michaeljhughes.com, or on all the socials is Michael J. Hughes Music. And anywhere you get your music from, all the streaming services, is Michael J. Hughes.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, everybody go get this stuff, because it's good, authentic country music. at its finest. And Michael, thank you so much for being here with us. And you know, we'll talk super soon. And I appreciate everything you've done for me and this show. And you know, I will continue to support you any way I can.
Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night, and thank you for being a part of the show.
All right, man.
All right. See ya.
Well, there you have it. Our conversation with Michael J. Hughes. What a great guy, right? The music's great. I can't wait to hear more from Michael J. Hughes coming out this year. It's going to be great. I really hope to meet him sooner rather than later in real life and get him up here into the Northeast. And I think he's got a lot of great things that are going to come. So Michael, thank you so much for being on the show. I can't, you know, honestly can't thank you enough for taking your time to be here. So for everyone else, thank you for listening. As always, Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company, thank you so much for being a friend of the show. Rowdy Rhodes, thank you for being a friend of the show. Afterglow Boutique, everybody else. If you want to have a spot on the show, whether it's a, you know, a shout or whatever, you know, reach out and we'll talk and we'll set something up and go from there. We got some great things in the works, I think. Can't talk too publicly about some things yet, but stay tuned. We have some great things coming up here in the month of February. We have some guests that I think are gonna blow your socks off. At the end of the month, we will be covering PBR here in Worcester, Mass. So stay tuned for all of that, everything that's gonna come with that. Some big things, I think, coming with that. I know I just said with that a lot, but just trust me. Like I said, can't talk about it, but something's brewing, hopefully. Also to our friends at Roxley, for those of you that have watched the whiskey reviews, you know, Roxley is our glassware of choice, so thank you to them for everything they have done. This week's whiskey review is going to be Bully Boy. If you saw the tease on the Instagram page last week, you knew that. So yes, Bully Boy coming out this week, full review. That was a blast to do, by the way. Absolute blast. There might have been a little too much Bully Boy in happening, but it was an honest and true review. So, and that's how we like it here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. So thank you again. Go check us out on all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, everywhere. Thank you so much for your support. Until next time, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, everyone.